Hi, I'm Rob from Arteca.
Sean and Arteca.
How long did the album take from beginning to end?
About 9 months. But there was a few little bits done before that. But about 9 months.
Okay, so it's quite a quick process. Did you decide right now we're going to start a new album now?
No, we kind of know in the back of our minds that whatever we do from now on might end up being on an album, because we've just either done we've just come back off a tour, or we've just not been doing any album tracks, or we've just actually released an album and we know that we've got no live sets to do, therefore we might just stay indoors and know that whatever we do might end up on an album. But we don't commit to the album for every track stage. We just make a load of tracks, shelf the ones we like, maybe approach the ones we didn't like that actually end up half recorded or half finished, either trash them or turn them into something good again, or you know, it's pretty open ended really. But I had a baby last year, my girlfriend did, and it took a lot of my time up, but initially, like for a good 12 weeks I was really mostly at home, and me and Sean were sort of separate for a bit. But after that we had this mad time. It was almost like a feverish way of catching up, and it was like, normally we'd say an album was done in 2 to 3 years or a year to 2 years, and okay, it was almost done in all less time than all of those. So I think we've just been using our time really densely. When we are together we do nothing but tracks. When maybe a couple of years ago or before my little boy came along, we might have had a more easygoing approach to just sitting around, play some PlayStation or have a few beers or get a bit stoned, and not always work on a track, you know. It's still been leisurely, that's the thing, because we do enjoy it, that's the thing. It's not felt like I've had to do work or play or, you know, divide it. It's just been, the only division is, do I have to drive to Sean's or not?
Yeah. You know, has the aspect of the sound for you personally changed since you had a little boy?
No, I mean, I'm still as emotional with tracks. I think when he first came about, when he was first born, and I started to hear tracks that have always made me tick, if you like, I'd probably get way more emotional at that instant when you feel that, you know, when you get goosebumps with good tracks. When you've got somebody new that means a lot to you, even though you hardly know him, there's something weird happens and you get deeply, deeply emotional with tracks, but no more than we've ever been, because I don't know anyone else who's more emotional about music than Sean, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, it's just added an extra layer of icing on top of all that, you know.
Yeah.
But nothing's dramatically changed as such. There's been no shift in any directions, you know. I think just trying to be as honest as we ever are with what we like about what we're doing and so on, you know.
It's been a little bit less kind of deliberate, eyes-on sort of composition. So we've not been using screens as much this year. We've been using more hardware interfaces, and I think sometimes it's nice just to use your ears and your hands to make music, you know, and not your eyes, because your eyes, I think screen-based sequencing can be a little bit deceptive sometimes. And that's been a little bit of a change. Plus also, with Rob's routine being slightly different now, I've been doing more tracks during the day, and I think that's probably made a bit of a difference as well. You know, just working during daylight hours.
Is there any tool or any piece of equipment that you've used predominantly on this new album that you haven't used before, that's like a new toy or something?
There's a few, really. I mean, mostly hardware boxes, because it was weird, because before we started working on the album, we thought after the last album we might do some live sets, and we got some hardware boxes to sort of get the live set going on those, because we didn't really fancy taking laptops out anymore. And we didn't do a live set. We ended up just doing some tracks and got really into that idea of doing tracks in a studio with hardware boxes that we assumed would be better for live work. And if anything, they underpinned a lot of the tracks that ended up on the album. And then we took the hardware boxes out with us this time. You know, another hardware box has just augmented the whole thing. So, yeah.
It's kind of weird, the tools question, because although they do obviously inform what you make, I think in our case we try and bend them into our shape before we even use them on a record. We tend to have a bit of equipment for a good 6 to 8 months before we'll think about using any tracks that we've done with it, because it tends to be that you'll do all the most obvious stuff first, and then you'll start to work out what the equipment can do properly, you know, where its strengths lie in terms of what we like, and our taste. And I think once we get beyond that point, the equipment's almost irrelevant, because you know, you could probably have made that same track using so many different means. But I don't know, it's kind of odd. It's not really essential that you use one piece of equipment or another. You know, I think that what's essentially going on is you've got some kind of dialogue between yourself and the equipment manufacturer. And I don't know, that can be a little bit thin. I don't know. Depends really how people work. I guess everyone's different. Yeah, but with us, it's not so much equipment driven. It's more taste driven, really, I think.
Okay. And you've recently, like we were saying earlier, been on tour with the new LP, Europe and America. How's that been going down?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Europe was really good.
Do you find there's a different reaction from the US and Europe?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because they just passed the Rave Act in the States, which means that any promoter or any club owner that's got someone on their premises doing drugs that gets arrested goes to jail for 14 years, which is obviously slowing dancing down considerably. In Europe, so obviously like a lot of the places in America that we're playing, yeah, they were like indie venues, which is great, but people tend to stand there and listen, which for us, it works either way. I mean, if they want to dance, it works, which we like. If they want to just stand there and absorb the sound, then there's plenty enough to get into. And that tends to be the way that a lot of them want to be in America, I think. But in Europe, yeah, they were just dancing immediately, and most of the venues were sold out. In America, they were getting close to capacity on a lot of them, but they weren't selling out. Japan was just ridiculous, like completely sold out, completely amazingly up for it crowd, turning up really early and going for it all night. That was probably the most inspiring place we played this year.
America's weird because it almost feels like, I've said it before, but it's like you feel like you're entering a different kind of Europe. Loads of states that aren't really countries,
yeah,
but are different, have different rules, different laws, different approaches to it,
yeah,
all sorts,
yeah,
even food, you know.
But there is commonalities there, though.
Yeah,
as it like
as there are in Europe, you know. But
yeah. But no, I mean, like Bologna is like a really good city to play. Berlin is as well, mm-hmm, but like, and Hamburg, but like, yeah, there's other cities in Europe. Like, I mean, Paris for some reason is a bit weak.
How did you find it in Amsterdam? How many times you played over it?
We haven't been here for a good 5 years.
No?
So, yeah, we'll see.
We did Eindhoven on this tour, but yeah, apart from that,
we're not Amsterdam. Mm.
Yeah, we're not playing Amsterdam for
a while. How long have we got in Amsterdam? 2001, I think, was the last time we might have been here. It might have been earlier than that. I can't remember if we did it on the last tour, do you remember?
What, Amsterdam?
Yeah.
No. Another friend of mine, who also did an interview with you back a long time ago, when I started my job.
2001.
2001 or something, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't play in Holland until 2001.
No, maybe that's 2000, a long time ago.
Maybe it's 98 or 99.
We're finally back now then.
Yeah, it's been ages, yeah. This venue's been repainted a few times.
How long are you together in total?
How long? 87, what's that? 18 years. Yeah.
87?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm. It is now.
20 years almost, you know?
Yeah.
About 17.
17, yeah.
16,
yeah,
17. Yeah. Start to fold up if I start in 2020.
Mm. Going back to the touring, do you have many strange sort of incidents on tour that you can?
Millions, but it's all tour rules. We can't really say.
No. What was the last strangest or memorable thing that's happened on the last tour?
Oh, Japan, Osaka. The last night in Japan was just magical. You know, when you go to a gig and you think, oh, it's going to be really good, and there's always something that sort of just makes it fall a bit short. And there's millions of reasons why it could do that, but I don't know, for me everything seemed to make sense, everything seemed to mean something, it seemed to be doing really well, and everyone else seemed to give me the same response as well. Like, most people around me were doing that too, so it actually was a good collective sort of vibe, you know. Like, people talk about these things, but it's a bit like, doing acid really. Everyone's got their own view on what happened collectively, when you know, It rarely is that collective.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of people inhabiting the same space and getting into different things of the same thing. Yeah, but yeah, it was genuine.
They really responded. It was so instant. You know, it was like Play-Doh. Brilliant, absolutely amazing. But you know, yeah, it depends. Bologna was really good as well. Actually, I thought.
Yeah. We opened a new version of the Link, which is a famous club in Bologna for techno and, you know, odd sort of electronic music, and they basically just removed the old club and it's a brand new space. It was almost like an airport, and we just thought, oh god, the soul has been ripped out of the idea of the link. And then we played and it was pretty banging and it was just big, and it was just basically, it was a bit turbocharged, but it was still good, you know, really good.
Kids were really
good. Because they know how to party.
Yeah, they just give loads, you know what I mean? And I like
Paris
that.
Paris was weird. Paris was weird in that it was a dead small venue with a really shit sound system. And all things considered, it was a really good set and a really good response. But we didn't do an encore. So people were waiting and then
do you decide
we played for an hour and a half, so we just didn't think there was any need, although our last track is about as rinsing it as any encore could ever be, so we just thought we'd nailed that one, you know. And we never do encores anyway because they're really crap, but the fact that we'd gone on long enough to include three encores into our set had any normal band played, but we still finished and we just thought we'd done that, and that was good. We sat backstage and people were like, yeah. Then it was like, ooh, boo. And then with 20 minutes, it was like, fucking,
shit.
Yeah, so we were like Public Enemy number one after just nailing the joint. And it was like,
you didn't dare to go back.
No, the room was half the size of this, and it was really close to the stage, and there's no way out apart from going out through the crowd.
It's just not probably there.
So it kicked off in like three ways at once in the same night, you know.
So how long were you locked in the dressing room for then?
We stayed in for a while, didn't we? I mean, the bus was just outside, but that's where people exit as well, so we couldn't go that way either. We'd end up in the canal with concrete boots.
I mean, it's nice to be kicked off over, but do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, don't, please.
It's getting rough and stuff. Yeah, it was just the turnaround. It went from really high to really kind of a bit amber and then totally red.
As this is a interview for the radio, which track off the new album would you think would fit well with an alarm clock going off in the morning to start your day?
What time's the show? I don't know.
To start your day, what do you think the track on the album
is? A bit clockworky, but
not necessarily like an alarm clock, but as your alarm goes off to start your day.
There's a few Augmatic Disport's pretty good like that. Depends how long you play it for, to be honest.
Until you get to the snooze.
Halfway through, but don't know.
It must start off soft.
Something to send you off in. Something to send you off dreamscape into a snooze sort of thing that would carry on through the dream maybe for another.
I'll just put the first track on and let the whole album play.
Sublimit would be good.
15-minute
journey.
Yeah,
an epic crest.
Yeah.
So do you
be asleep again by the end of it, you see. So they could spend the rest of the day in bed, courtesy of us.
Do you personally have a favourite track on the new album?
No. If I did, I'd change my mind immediately that I said it, so I'm not going to say it.
Some tracks are so composite as well. There's so many different aspects to them, and maybe movements, if you like, that sometimes it's just part of a bit of a track.
Yeah.
Now they're not just pieces that do this thing for 12 minutes or do that thing for 10 minutes. They're almost like they sort of weave around a bit, and sometimes it can be a movement from one to another, or when it hits the point and it's in that point, you know. It's almost impossible to just go, that's the one or that's the bit, because it also depends on what you're doing.
Yeah. Where do your soundscapes that you make actually take you personally?
There.
Place where only those sounds exist, I suppose.
And where would the most idyllic setting for your sounds to be heard? You know, anywhere.
Again, it depends what track it is, you know.
And on the listener. A lot. I mean, it depends on where people feel comfortable, you know. I guess a lot of people probably play our stuff quite loud at some time between sort of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's
indoors possibly as well on Wi-Fi.
They're listening to it on their walkmans, on headphones, which is equally immersive in a totally different way. I've heard people say that you'd probably need quite a lot of attention to listen to our stuff because it requires that. So I guess any situation where you can give it some attention.
Yeah, but I think if you give it the attention and then take it where you want to hear it, then you know it instinctively and you can just let it do its thing. I think. say for me, as it's summertime, I'd be listening to like Augustus Pablo or Kraftwerk or some Chain Reaction music or some kind of dub, loads of nice sweet treble and really nice all sorts of kind of bass.
Dry production as well.
Yeah.
You know,
dry type of dub. I mean, this kind of weather brings it on for me. So any track that does that sort of thing at this time of day or this kind of time of the year, winter, I don't know, something that keeps you active and keeps you warm.